Adam Pengilly, good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Well, we're in World Cup mode, and as a Manchester United fan, your take on your beloved Cristiano Ronaldo and the potential for, well, Manchester United said to be exploring their legal options after his Piers Morgan interview, and I just can't help how this doesn't affect the Portugal side as he steps in there as well, considering, well, the size of his personality.
Yeah, it's going to be an issue all throughout the World Cup for Portugal, isn't it, Jared? I think the one thing is for certain, he's played his last game for Manchester United.
Oh,
there's any doubt about that. So his time at Manchester United is over. Obviously, as a long-time United fan, Jared, I appreciate everything he's done for the club over many, many years, but geez, he's handled himself poorly the last few months, hasn't he, really? I know he wanted to leave in the off-season in the European summer. He couldn't push a move through. I don't know why he has done this interview with Piers Morgan, of all people, as well. Like, I suppose he wanted a big microphone, a big megaphone to get his point across, and he probably thought Piers Morgan was the way to do that. And to be fair, Jared, probably a couple of things he said in the interview probably weren't too far off the mark in terms of the Glazers and their lack of care for the club and everything like that. But it wasn't the right time to do it. It wasn't the right thing to say, a lot of what he said in that interview. So I think the club will be trying to get rid of him as quickly as possible. I'm keen to see how it affects Portugal throughout this World Cup because, as you mentioned, Jared, he fronted up to a press conference apparently yesterday, and Ronaldo very rarely does press conferences. So that was a bit of a surprise for a lot of journalists over there. And this is going to be his last chance, you'd think. You'd imagine it'd be hard for him to play another World Cup in 4 years' time. So Portugal's got a good squad on paper, but whether they can go that extra step and make a World Cup semi-final or final, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about him, Jared. I'm obviously very appreciative of what he's done for the club over many, many years, but I just think he's handled this situation really, really badly.
Adam, will this not have the opposite effect, though, for someone like him? If he still believes he's good enough to compete with the best, wouldn't this just fire him up and he'd want to have a great World Cup?
Oh, he's got a single focus, Clarky. We know that. He's an extremely dedicated and motivated athlete. And maybe a part of that interview was to try and put a bit of pressure on himself and get the best out of himself in this World Cup. And you can obviously see what it means to him to play well for Portugal and get them to go deep into a tournament like a World Cup. So you're right. It could have that effect on him. But what about the effect on everyone else around him?
I was about to ask you that, Adam, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of support out there for him.
No.
With teammates or former teammates.
Yeah. Yeah, Loz, did you see that footage of Bruno Fernandes,
yes,
his Manchester United teammate, who went into the dressing sheds when he arrived for the World Cup? And it seemed like a very icy reception, didn't it? He gave Ronaldo after he did that interview. And there was some story afterwards that, you know, there was a bit of a joke about Bruno Fernandes arrived late at camp, and Ronaldo said something to him about, oh, did you come by boat or something like that? And that's what the exchange was about. But I think the body language, Jared, you know, probably said it a whole lot into that situation. And Bruno Fernandes, you can say whatever you like about him, but he is a passionate guy who plays for his club, he plays for the badge, and Ronaldo, in a lot of respects, probably the accused of not doing that. He's all about individual records and glory, isn't he?
If this is not another great example of, you can't, like we say, as fans, we want the players to speak their mind and say what they feel. No, we don't, because Ronaldo has, and we're smoking him for it. Like we're saying, mate, you can't say that. You're in a team. You can't bag players. You can't bag your coach. You can't go to the depth you've gone to while you play in a team.
Yeah, I think he crossed the line, though, to be fair.
100%.
He crossed the line. Like, can you imagine if you came out in...
No chance. Could not do that in...
No.
Even the way he acted when he left the ground before the game was over. Can you imagine doing that with an Australian team?
Yeah, and there's been a lot of debate about this situation, about whether he was shown disrespect by Ten Hag asking to come on to play 3 or 4 minutes in that Tottenham game or whatever it was. And a lot of people say, oh, why put Ronaldo on for 5 minutes? He's not that type of player. That shows him disrespect. Well, in my mind, if you play for the team, if your manager asks you to play 90 minutes or 2 minutes, you do it.
Yeah.
You do it. It's as simple as that. And I know he probably felt disrespect in that situation. That's why he left the ground early. But, you know, if you play for your team and your club, you do whatever the manager asks you to do.
Yeah.
And he clearly didn't do that.
In racing, what have we got on this week? What is it, the Festival Stakes? What are the noms like for that, mate?
Yeah, strong, Loz. Really strong. And I think the last few weeks just shows all these races feeding into the Ingham or the old Villiers Stakes are producing some really quality fields at the moment. We talked about the Hunter a couple of weeks ago, the Bong last week, and then you probably think, oh, well, how's this Festival Stakes going to shape up on the weekend? Are we a bit thin on the ground for quality? But just looking at the early nominations there yesterday, it's going to be a really strong field. Obviously, Brutality is a horse I've still got my eye on. I think he's been great last week in Madong. And he just needs things to go his way in races. And his racing pattern doesn't help him. But I imagine he's going to be extremely competitive in a race like this. And the betting market shows it's going to be a wide-open race. Kistum's obviously the early favourite at $5 with tab.com.au. Dime was up there in betting. Cole Crusher was very good winning last start. And even a horse like Cisco Bay, he's been racing in really fine fettle in the last month or two. So I'm expecting a really deep race in these Festival Stakes on the weekend and plenty of different betting angles we can look at heading towards Saturday.
And we've got some Irish jockeys heading out here.
Yeah, I found this quite interesting, Jared. A couple of jockeys from Ireland, Ben Cohen and Mikey Shee, who are coming out to ride in Sydney for the next few months. And this Sydney jockeys room we know is probably one of the strongest in the world, if not the strongest in the world. It's going to be bolstered in the next few months over summer with Ben and Mikey coming out to ride for a few months. Ben's going to be doing some work with Chris Waller over summer, so he's obviously high up on the Irish standings over there, jockey standings. He's running fourth at the moment. He's won the Ebor Handicap, obviously, this year with Sonny Boy List. And then the apprentice, Mikey Shee's having a really good run over there in Ireland. He's always coming out to do some work with Kieran Maher and David Eustace. So anyone's thinking the jockey quality might be a little bit diminished over summer with a couple of jockeys taking holidays and whatever else, I'd think again, because these two boys can definitely ride.
What's the latest with what happened up there at Birdsville for the Birdsville Cup? Oh. I mean, it happened on the day involving that jigger incident.
Yeah, Rick McMahon, the jockey in question, lost his face caught up there at Mount Isa. Now, he's been fined $5,000 after being charged by police. So that's the first step to resolving this issue. It's been dragging on for a few weeks now, a few months, I should say, after that photo. It was an amazing photo. It was put on social media by Sharon Chapman, one of the great racing photographers, and some eagle eyes spotted this jigger being held by Rick McMahon on a horse. So he's faced court after being charged by police. The trainer, Todd Austin, hasn't been charged by police. He hasn't faced court. But they're both going through a stewards inquiry up there in Queensland at the moment. They haven't been charged by the stewards up there in Queensland. I imagine that'd be pretty imminent. We heard some pretty explosive evidence last week. So hopefully this comes to some sort of resolution in the not-too-distant future. But both gentlemen, Rick McMahon and Todd Austin, I can imagine, will not be part of the racing industry for a pretty long time.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Have a good morning.
See you, Jared. See you, boys.